Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
In the UEFA Champions League, every moment is a story.
Bukayo Saka scores!
And every great story needs an audience. UEFA Champions League. Stream every goal, every game, live, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO, where we always welcome your questions, either by phone or by text related to real estate. Before we say hi to Chris and Andy, 651-989-9226. And the text number is 81807. Good to see you both today on this rainy day. Now, let me ask you this before I ask you my usual question. Are there open houses this rainy day for the both of you?
Absolutely.
Is that good or bad? Does that help?
It's better.
Yeah. It's better because people can't work in the yard.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've had some good turnouts with this weather. I mean, when it's nice and at the beginning of the summer, you know, they want to get out and do stuff. So it's typically slower. So this is good. But we got to stop because I'll tell you, putting listings on and getting good photos is really hard right now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the market's ahead of the marketing. And so what's happening is we're seeing houses with the take a look or coming soon kind of concept.
Yeah.
They don't even have the photos published yet, and these properties are seeing offers. And so
it's
an interesting market that we're in. I mean, obviously nobody likes to run at a pace that they can't keep up with, and the buyers are fatigued with, you know, feeling like, hey, I don't want to overpay. I don't, you know, great rates are great, but how much do you want to pay? What's a fair price? You know, and we've talked about this week after week. Again, and I'm finding that more buyers, though, even if we put a property up for sale and we're at the peak of the market, I'm seeing where more buyers are coming in and offering what they really think it's worth. They're not overpaying. They're actually offering a fair price. And sometimes these multiple offers, the offers aren't over asking price. You know, just because it's listed, doesn't mean it's priced right. And so the sellers that are like, hey, let's push the market and be a little, you know, piggy, as I say, and push it 5, 10, 15,000 over to see what we can get, they're not getting asking price.
So is that kind of what you guys have been seeing this last week?
No, he's right on the nose. I was also going to say, too, that I think agents making offers that are doing them right away, they're getting their clients in there right away, understanding that the sellers have priced it to be able to maybe get multiple offers, are coming in a lot stronger right away.
Right.
You know, because some will say, you know, how many offers? And if there's not, you know, more than an offer, they try to make a deal.
Right.
And now there's other people that are coming in right away. Hey, I'll give you this much over, but I just want it done. Well, and I'll tell you, there's something to say about, you got to look at that too from a seller perspective, because the sellers kind of start saying, you know, well, gosh, one wants it, then others do. That's not necessarily always true.
Right. Well, you know, my key thing this year is I've been telling everybody the old location, location, location now is research, 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 because properties, you can trend up, you know, 6% in a season, but you do the math on that. And that house might only be going up, you know, $600 or $800 a month, not $15,000 in 3 months compared to the neighbor's house. So, you know, can you pay a little bit more than what the neighbor paid? Sure. But you want to be reasonable about that. And you have to really take a look at it from a research perspective. Again, and I'll say this 1,000 times, a good agent that knows how to run a proper CMA for you, that'll give you the what exactly you should pay for that house based on current condition in that market, is worth tenfold their commission.
And that can probably prove it to a seller. You know, you got to add that in, because if, I mean, you can do all the CMAs you want.
Yeah.
The seller don't agree with it, you're not getting it.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, being able to convert that from stats to selling that to them and getting them in which to believe that. But there's a lot of other things that you can do too. We get what's happening, starting happening now, is that people are doing multiple offers and they're saying, hey, we won't do an inspection. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do it. Well, that's not necessarily the best thing for a seller.
No.
You know, the seller, I mean, that's a way in which to be able to say, hey, you did an inspection. You knew about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't hiding anything. We've got a disclosure to be able to do that. But I mean, I'm seeing that where people are coming in with no inspection.
We're seeing the same thing. And you know, the other side of it that I really kind of think is showing that our market is showing its professionalism is, I would say that at least in my markets that I represent, I'm seeing almost 100% buyers coming in with representation. That a few years ago, the trend was different. When the market got this hot, people were just, you know, hey, I'll buy direct, I'll try to save money. And now they're actually putting the faith into having a buyer's representative that does those market analysis, you know, ahead of time for them, provides them with the good contractors. And, you know, the sellers pay the commission. And that's the biggest fallacy I think a lot of first-time home buyers say is, well, I don't have enough money to hire an agent. And buyers are there. The commission that's paid to a buyer's rep comes from the seller's side of the transaction. A lot of people still don't understand that. So you as a buyer don't have to necessarily pay anything, you know, unless there's, you know, broker fees or whatever else that you're going to have that are closing costs for that representation. And then you actually have that full experience, all of that knowledge, all of that guidance, essentially for free.
I think it's interesting on the for sale by owner thing because, hey, the market's good. Why not try it? But here's what happens is on the for sale by owners, typically, not always, but most of the time, is that a buyer comes in and says, well, you're saving all the commission. I'll give you this much less.
That's
for that.
Totally true.
You know, and because they don't want the seller to get, and the seller's like, hey, I'm going to save this commission, you know, because I don't have to pay an agent to be able to sell it. But the buyer doesn't want to do it because they're saving that commission. And well, so I had a great example of that happen, which is great if someone wants to be able to sell their house and do it. But they kind of took it, hey, here's what we're going to list it at. We'll take off this, and then we'll take off the commission, and that's what we'll give you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, okay, you know, maybe. Well, in the end, we ended up listing up higher and getting more money and got more money than, you know, they were even originally offering.
Well, and you know, something you're kind of tapping into is later in the show, we're going to actually talk about the different ways that during a tight market like it is, how do you find inventory? And we're going to kind of go through that a little bit. And that's one of those techniques that we use is that my agents that are on our team, they're very resourceful. If you know that you're in a townhouse development or in an area, you want to live in, you know, ABC neighborhood, these guys are knocking doors. They're actually going out there and introducing themselves and saying, hey, we have a buyer that wants to live in your neighborhood. And that's going to be one of our tips, even though I'm kind of giving one away. But that's one of the tips we're going to talk about here in probably one of the next
Andy, segments. Have you ever seen Andy fly his balloon? There's
no,
a balloon, too, that gets it, and then he throws, like, candy off and then tries to get him to list.
Hey, come to my events in the fall. We do them in December. I bring the big Remax balloon up to the movie theater up there.
You do?
We fire it up. Oh, my. The kids go crazy when they get those big, you know, the firing, I don't know what they're called, the motors or whatever they are.
Let's go with the fire.
They press a button and it goes big boom and there's fire.
Andy's right next to the kids.
I'm busy eating popcorn and slushies and whoa. You know, it's a lot of fun.
It's actually a whole circus is kind of.
Yeah. You know, another thing.
That's how I run my business.
Yeah. Another thing we're going to talk about today is it's a confusion. I mean, a lot of people see encroachments or easements. We know, what are they? Subasago with Midland Title is going to be with us and kind of show us the difference between those, and then a couple of examples. And examples to me that happen a lot more than mm-hmm. people think, you know, with easements and driveway easements, shared easements or encroachments where maybe, you know, landscaping or a fence or something is on your property.
Well, we've had it where, you know, I've heard thousands of stories, but, you know, some of the, especially up north in the cabins or the, you know, dad used to own the farm or the 40 acres and then the neighbor, they put the poles in everywhere and they say, hey, this is what they've established as their property line. And then they start functioning that way, and the rock piles on the corner or whatever. And then when they go to sell it, the kids go to sell it, and they find out once they GPS it, they're off by 10 feet. And how do you then ask that neighbor to move their stuff over? Or how do you ask that shed that's now on your property, you know? And then they say, well, I've been doing this for 25 years. And then there's that, you know, implied easements and all that kind of usage things that are in there. And that's, it can be a mess. And I'm sure people listening have, there's millions of stories there saying, I've got a story to tell you, you know, but it, yeah, it can be a mess, so that's why we brought her in today, too.
Before we break, Kathy and Hugo is on the line with a question. Go ahead, Kathy. What is your question, please?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
My elderly mother has her home for sale in Maplewood, and it's a duplex. The home is the most expensive home in the neighborhood. What's the best way for her real estate agent, or what advice do you have for marketing a duplex like that?
Mm. It's a good question. Oh, good question. I've got one right now that I'm doing. First of all, I mean, is your mom living in one side and then rents out the other?
Yes, my mom lives in the upstairs, and my sister in the downstairs.
Okay, so there's no rent really being transferred, and if there is, it's real low rent, more than likely, right?
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, from an investor standpoint, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the investors are looking for, is what the rent will bring, because that'll directly reflect the price that you're going to get. I think, you know, there's a lot of people in a Maplewood, that's a good example, that there's a lot of people that'll buy one half and then rent the other half. But if you want to try to get the most amount of money, mm-hmm. you got to get those rents up, and or you got to be able to tell them, hey, here's a possibility based on this and this. This is what the rents are going to be, and this is what you end up getting. And then, you know, you got to go market to investors.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you look at the big boys that are out there. One of our, you know, our president used to even do this, where they'll buy projects, they'll buy big investment properties with rentals. The first thing they do is they renovate the building, and they will raise rents 20-30%, because it's all about the cash on cash returns and the cap rates, because they want to know, what is the ROI on that investment? Can I make 8% or 12%? The day I buy the building, is it 100%, you know, occupied with this kind of an income coming in? Because if you go after the duplex audience, that is the, you know, I want to rent out both sides, what is the potential rent is what I would take a look at. And I would strategize on what can I get per unit and market it as such. And you may even want to get rid of the sister, I hate to say it, but, and put that new renter in there after the renovations have been done, get the rent up, and then the property will be worth more and it may be in demand.
Have a great Saturday. Get rid of the daughter.
Happy Mother's Day. Get out.
Oh, boy.
I kick out mom, too, but that's nothing personal, mother.
All right. Sorry, Kathy.
And you'll list your property.
No, that's unsolicited.
As we head to this break, 651-989-9226 for your real estate question. If you'd rather be safe and send a text, 818-0807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show. We always like to invite our listeners to ask those real estate questions either by phone or text, 651-989-9226. Or text us at 81807. Chris and Andy, what do you want to do here?
Sue Basago with Midland Title is here. And Sue, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also want to get, we're going to talk a little about encroachments and easements. We got a lot of text messages. We got phone calls coming in. But I wanted to try to get a definition, first of all, of what an encroachment is and then what an easement is.
Sure. From an encroachment perspective, it's something that, to make it simple, is either you have a fence on your property that really belongs to your neighbor, or you have a fence that belongs to you that's on your neighbor's property, or a shed. A lot of times we see those little gardening sheds that might be 10 feet on a neighbor's property. An easement is an actual legal agreement that can get you to a piece of property. or sometimes they're not in writing and they're verbal. And what it means is that you have to have access. On a lake property like Andy was talking about earlier, you have to have access to the lake because you own a property across the road. In the Twin Cities, surprisingly, we have a lot of same issues. We have shared driveway easements that might not have an agreement. You've shared that driveway for years and you're going to go sell your property. Or it could be as simple as my eave hangs over on my neighbor's property and I need to have an easement to be able to repair that eave.
All right, what about trees? Something as simple as a tree, because I've had a client ask me about that they say, hey, the neighbor's huge tree over my fence into my yard, almost hindering my use of my property now. How does that categorize?
From a title perspective, we don't look at trees. From a legal perspective, which I really technically cannot answer on the air, those become legal issues of who owns the tree. Mm-hmm. My understanding with the property that I just had, the trunk was in the middle of our property line, so we both took care of the tree in that situation.
Hmm. But if it's in my yard, I can cut it off if it's hanging over my property,
the tree branch? That's what I did.
Not being popular with my neighbor, but after I kicked my sister out,
you're kicking people out of their house, well, for God's sake. The tree's no big deal anymore.
Again, cut back on the coffee. Note to self.
All right. As on that topic, Dennis has a real life example coming up about this very thing. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Before we even talk about that, Connie in St. Paul has been waiting on the phone. Go ahead, Connie. What is your question for us, please?
I was wondering what formula you use or how do you arrive at a selling price for a property?
How do you do that?
It's a great question. I mean, in general, finding a price is obviously you got to compare it to other things that have sold that are similar to yours. Mm-hmm. And then I think what you do is once you find that price, then you got to see what's active and how it fits in there. And then you can set your list price based on that.
Yeah.
But obviously anything that's proven, that's been done, we know that, hey, that's the fact. I mean, Andy's talking about it. He's saying he's doing market analysis for people. He's basing it off of that. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that you have to know that market. If you don't know that market and don't know what's happening and how quick things are moving, I mean, you can kind of push it and be able to get more.
Well, you know, even in condominium style markets where you have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, same amount of square footage as the neighbor, but do you have a better view than the neighbor? Do you have the easy access? You're on second floor versus first floor. Do you have you walk across and you've got a private elevator? I mean, those are all the elements that add that additional, you know, the things that the Zillows, the Trulia, Realtor.coms can't capture because they're looking at square footage numbers. That's where the agent comes in, a local real estate agent. And most agents will actually give you a free market analysis or a no-cost market analysis to really help you analyze that, because from a strictly a per square foot price, a lot of people will use that and it's just not accurate anymore. It's like and that's why if you read in the back and the fine print on those online evaluation sites, they actually say that it's within 14% either side for values, because they can't really say. On a lake, Chris, you're a lake expert, and you talk about like things like sandy frontage versus mucky frontage. So when you have a 10,000 square foot beautiful mansion on the lake, you can vary on thousands of dollars just based on the shoreline, the view.
I had an appraiser call me on that this last week, and she was starting to ask. She goes, "How much per foot is Lakeshore going for?" I said, "You can't. There's no such thing anymore.
Right?
You know, it depends what kind of house you have. Is it going to be a teardown? Not a teardown? Is it flat? Is it steep? Is it in a bay? You know?
Yep.
Is it navigable? What kind of lake is it? All that kind of stuff. I mean, it makes a huge difference."
I'll tell you what, let's do. We've got calls. I want to alert Gene and Larry to hang on the line here. We're going to take our quick bottom of the hour break, take a look at that forecast. And we have texters, too, that have questions. And we'll get a real life question from Dennis, too, when we come back with our guest. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show here on 830 WCCO. We have callers. We have texters, guys. And so let's get to it. Gene in Stillwater has been waiting. Go ahead, Gene. Thank you.
Yes, I have a question about property lines. And the experience that I have is that I'm in an area that was a small town, and farms and lakes. And so when the lakes rose, people's property lines were changed by people. And when fields were plowed, markers were changed by farmers and then put back where they thought the place was going to be. So there's a confusion about property lines and has been for years. And I was wondering, how do you straighten those out, and do they need to be straightened out?
Yeah, you probably Sue Basega with Midland Titles here, perfect person to answer this question, but and real important to be able to decide and what to do before you actually are going to sell.
That's correct. In the Stillwater area, in Washington County in particular, there are a lot of issues with boundary lines. That's what you're discussing right now, is those boundary line issues. And to be honest, from a title perspective, that's something that we do the search, and we'll identify if those issues are there. But to solve the problem, you really need to get together with your neighbors, because you obviously want to have a cooperation with everyone involved in that transaction and find a really good attorney that can help all of you be able to straighten out those lines. You'll have to do surveys, and it does get quite costly.
Yeah. And the best thing is what you said, is to work together, you know, because if you got to fight for what those lines are, you know, that even gets more expensive, but you can kind of work together to be able to make sure it's right for you or your heirs.
But I was going to say, so do you let the neighbor then say, hey, listen, we're going to be doing a survey to determine, because I want to sell my property and I need to know what to offer to my potential buyers. Do you then sit down, look at the survey, and then come to an agreement? And then do they move the line if you, as a neighbor, decide to move the line? Because I think a lot of times when it comes to Lakeshore, they won't just let you move it because you want to move it. They're going to say, nope, it's 100 footers. Even though you think you got 110 feet, they're not just going to give it to you unless you go to I think you have to go to court. And a judge then can override that. But you'd have to get a judgment, I believe, to get that to oversee. Does that sound right? Or am I...
Well, you can actually have agreements with neighbors, and you can do deeds and exchange deeds for that land, or you can do easement agreements. Mm-hmm. And it will just depend on the cost and the extent and what the requirements of the county is as well. Because as we know with lake property, you have setbacks and you have a certain amount of land that you have the building on that property.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
good point.
All right, very good. 6519, thank you, Gene. 651-989-9226. Larry is calling from Andover with a question. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, you guys. I built a shed on my lakeshore property 24 years ago, and it happened to be a foot on a neighbor's property. Is that grandfathered in, or would that have to be moved, or
do you have footings, Larry, on that? Is there footings and stuff, or is it just a shed that's...
Oh, it's just 8x10 shed or whatever.
Sue?
In that situation, we would actually, from a title perspective, ask for an easement agreement with the neighbor or ask that the shed be moved. Typically, you're not going to find a problem as long as the buyer understands that that shed is on the neighbor's property and you get along with that neighbor. The issue would be if a lender for that buyer calls it out and has an issue with the fact that there's encroachments.
Mm. Now, our friend Dennis here, we were talking off the air that, Dennis, you have a real-life question, example, that you want to get
example, and I want to avoid problems in the future.
Okay.
All right. My mother has just divided our lake property, 33 acres, 1,800 feet of frontage. All four heirs got their share. We have a deeded access through another man's property into ours, and the driveway comes in on my 7 acres. Now, my niece and my brother and sister can only access their property through mine. And I want to make sure that when I'm gone, that there's no problems with the driveways into my sisters and my brothers and my nieces. I want to make sure this is all taken care of before I'm gone. And since we just did this and got this all done, what do I have to do to make sure this all happens?
And Chris, during the break, suggested a toll bridge. Now, is that the direction we should go with the...
Well, I was also going to tell Dennis, I mean, in 50, 75 years from now, laws change.
Right.
So, go ahead, Sue.
Well, toll bridge might be a good idea if you want to make some money off your relatives instead of kicking them off the properties.
Right.
Actually, what you would want to do is you'd want to make sure that you have a good easement agreement that's written out with all of the surrounding properties. And you would want to make sure that that is signed by everybody that's in existence now.
Including the man that we drive through his property to get to.
Correct. You want to make sure that's established. And then you want to make sure from your property out that you actually have established easements. And those should be in writing and they should be recorded. And it should indicate in those that they're going to actually go to the heirs or successors in interest to that property. Then you've got the problem solved. And as long as it's recorded, that's our biggest issue.
All right.
You know, that toll bridge, Denny, I'm just trying to do that to find that one. that sister that's getting kicked out of her place. I'm trying to get her some extra money so she can.
Now you're going to have to pay a toll place. To get kicked out of this property.
Hey, we got a ton of text questions.
We do.
The first one, do you need a permit to divvy up a house like they do in college towns? Divvy up a house. I assume that means they're renting out a room or something or multiple rooms. Yeah, you're going to – I mean, most places do have permits that you have to do and follow. So,
well, even some neighborhoods, like in Minneapolis, I know that they're – by the U, they have special – you know, where they say you can only have three kids in each side of the duplex maximum. Even if it's a five-bedroom, you know, there's certain pockets where they do that, and they do that as an effort to just kind of take the pressure – because some of those areas have been rezoned or, you know, haven't been rezoned, and they're just
but
now
it's lucrative, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, I look at these kids all paying $600 to $800 a piece per month for these bedrooms. And these house, well, that's why these duplexes over by the U sell for $600,000. It's because they can afford it. The ROI, the cap rates are there.
Just went back to the other thing. It's how much rent do you get?
I mean, right.
They'll pay for it. Yep. If a buyer asks the seller to pay closing costs, is the seller able to deduct those costs on their tax return? We can't give legal or tax advice, but it depends. If it's an investment property, it's certainly a cost. It lowers your cost, but you know there's a wonderful little tax advantage for owning. If you lived in the home two of the previous 5 years, that you're free of capital gains tax up to $550, mm-hmm. something like that. So at that time, it might help you get underneath that amount to be able to.
Because usually they just surrender it off the estimate selling expense, you know, sheet, and they'll actually take that off of there. You're not actually writing out a check to a mortgage company, and it's not to your benefit that you're paying that. But anyway,
here's another one. Getting ready to sell my parents' home in St. Paul. The home needs a lot of work, and so we want to sell at no contingencies, as is, cash only. A realtor has recommended listing on the open market for the best price. My mom has been also approached by flippers, but we've not yet shown them the property. Deciding which would be the wisest and most lucrative approach.
Flippers or wholesale? And the retail market will bear more every time, because the consumer that comes in there and thinks they can renovate the house for $5,000 or $10,000, when in actual real numbers it's maybe $40,000, so they're willing to pay more because they think they can get it done for less, versus a flipper has to buy that investment. They have to pay for those improvements usually, and they're paying kind of a wholesale price to allow that to have that luxury of to paying for those services. So
1,000%. A house like that, you want to put on the open market.
I would too.
And put it out there for sure. So how you know when to hire a repairman or a contractor for many repairs? I've been living in the house for 20 years. Mm. I'll tell you what, I always tell people, let us out there. Let the realtors out there right away. Save people lots and lots of money where they thought they had to repair siding or windows where really they didn't have to. Right. And we're able to be able to put that inside and be able to get
And where to
money.
Put their dollars, because not everybody has unlimited cash. So if you have, where's the best ROI for my, you know, if you have $20,000 to improve that property, get it ready to sell, where to put it is, I think, the key.
Tell you what, let's do this. Let's take our usual break time and come right back. If you have a real estate question for us, 651-989-9226. That's by phone, or if you'd rather send a text, and we'll get back to those too. 81807 for your text messages.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show here on 830 WCCO. 43 in rain right now, and more rain is on the way. Chris and Andy, we got a lot of text messages today, a lot of them.
Yeah, we've been talking about toll bridges and kicking kids out of houses and easements and encroachments.
Doesn't sound too much like a good neighbor, does
it? No. Well. Super Sago, Midland Title is here, and this will be a good question for her. Our home was built 30 years ago. Home next door was there a year or so before ours. The sod and the sprinkler system was done in their yard before ours. We had a sprinkler system put in, and the sod laid soon after we moved in 30 years ago. Our new neighbor has determined that some of our sprinkler heads are in his yard. Do we need to move that, do we need to move them before we move? Sue,
that is a very interesting question, and it's going to depend. If your neighbors don't want to cooperate and they're not going to let your new buyers on the property, then yes, you might want to consider moving them or getting an easement agreement so you have access to repair those lines.
Yeah, and I think the easiest thing is to move them, you know, and just be done with it and not have to worry. From a resale standpoint, the less we have to explain, mm-hmm. the better it is.
I'd agree 100%, yep.
Okay, and there was another one here. My daughter's wanting to sell her house and build again with the same builder. She's had several different agents come through and do markets. They, of course, only look at sold comps. The builder only builds this model home in one location, now with much smaller lots. At this point, to rebuild her exact house, it would cost $480,000. My daughter needs $435,000 for hers. Agents say it's worth $420,000. What do you suggest she does? Interesting.
And not to be simple, but then if it's not right or you can't do it, just don't sell. I mean, they're not making the numbers up. The numbers don't lie.
But let's talk about this. Why is her house on a bigger lot, and to rebuild it down the street on something else, it would be $480, and she's only going to get $420 for hers.
Why don't you grab that person that just wrote a new construction purchase agreement as they walk out the front door and ask them? Because they're ultimately the market. The market will pay more for new. They always have. They always will. It's just like a new car. You have a brand new Corvette that's a year old. In your head, it's a brand new Corvette. The other person says it's a year old.
You got it. Yep, totally. I mean, new construction typically is kind of thrown out. You kind of use it to kind of gauge, but it's typically going to cost you more in which to be able to get brand new. Mm-hmm. And now what's existing, you know, and the other thing is what happens here is that if people have the option in which to build in a neighborhood, the existing market's going to be held down. Mm-hmm. Until there's nothing left, and all of a sudden, then it pops up, right. And so that might be what they're talking about as well.
Sure,
Do we have anything else on there? Hold on. Oh, nope, we don't. Andy, you said at the very beginning we're going to talk about something and how to be able to find some. If you can't find a house,
we got a lot of buyers that are frustrated, and they'll text the show and ask them where do we go, how do we fix this, and so real quick. One of the best secrets that we found as agents is that getting your real estate agent to go back and look at expired listings or withdrawn listings that are out there. So maybe a year ago, the property was for sale. It didn't work out. But now the market has cured itself, or the values are back to where maybe that seller now can make that work. And they might be actually really enthusiastic about you guys approaching them. There's a lot of the online stuff, like on Zillow, the Make Me Moves, the Craigslist ads, people trying to do for sale by owners. Don't be afraid of them. Just have your representation ready to go. Have them helping you through. Rental listings is another one. People that are renting their houses sometimes would take a real hard look at. They don't realize how much that equity has come up or what you're willing to pay, and they'd look at rentals. The other one is overpriced listings, and that's where the house that you're like, oh, they're crazy. Sometimes they're waiting for that offer. They just want to price it high to see if they can get it, and they will take a lower offer.
Biggest myth is that people come in and bid real low. It doesn't happen a lot unless it's something sat for a super long time and they're just trying.
Minnesota nice, it doesn't work here. It works in other cities and other states where they'll come in and they'll lowball you. Here it doesn't seem to work. It just people ignore you when you overprice. So that's my tips. Good luck.
Okay, good. So Sue, we've obviously had a lot of different questions here. For the person that's kind of considering these things, like the Stillwater thing, would they contact a title company right away to discuss that kind of stuff? And then you can kind of put them in the right direction, how to get it taken care of?
Yes. The best thing to do is to talk to a title company. They're the title experts that are out there. They can research your property and make a decision for you and help you out to make sure that you're aware of what issues you're going to have. And then we can direct you to an assortment of attorneys that work with us to help you solve those problems, because you want to solve them before you get that purchase agreement signed.
Totally.
Because we have a lot of those situations where we're dealing with them and it might postpone a closing.
Yeah. And that's never fun. So there was another text question that I missed in all of them. And it says, we maintain and cut about 2 feet of our neighbor's yard because that 2 feet looks like it's part of our yard. Also, it's a convenience for our neighbor.
I don't think there was a question there. I was looking for it myself.
It's a statement.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you what, though. When you're listing that house, or if you're selling that house, you better let the people know that you're cutting 2 feet onto the other people's yard.
Let me say this real quick. I was selling some land, and this was a piece that we actually owned ourselves and the neighbor, because we were letting the natural, beautiful grasses grow. They decided that they wanted to mow into the property, and I kept getting feedback saying the lot's too narrow. And so we literally had to address a neighbor and say, stay off the property, because they were mowing into the property 10, 15 feet. People were perceiving that only the long grass was actually where the lot was. And so those things happen. You when you go to sell, you got to put on different goggles. You really need to take perspective of what is the value perceived by the way the lot looks. Like that neighbor mowing 4 feet into your property, think about it. It looks like now you own that, and you don't own that. So you should properly represent what you have for sale.
I'll tell you what, let's find out how we get a hold of everybody here before we take our leave today.
Midland Title, 612-866-6102.
With Edina headquarters there.
Yeah.
RandyPrasky.com?
It is Andy.
Oh, it's Andy. Okay.
Yeah. You figure it out. Google me.
ChrisRudy.com.
Okay.
God. No respect.
And it's still raining. But we are going to be back next week. And again, we always enjoy your company when you ask the real estate questions by phone or text. So we'll do that again next week here on CCO.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
In the UEFA Champions League, every moment is a story.
Paris Saint-Germain have won the Champions League.
And every great story needs an audience. Feel every match.
Mbappe in the middle.
Every goal.
Oh, would you believe this?
From the best clubs.
Real Madrid strike.
And the biggest stars.
Bukayo Saka scores.
This is the world's best soccer.
Momentous and iconic.
The UEFA Champions League. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last, so don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.